Good morning. Well, possibly I missed an announcement that Caleb possibly gave, or possibly he didn't. And in case he didn't, I'll give it here. And if it was given, and I was the one not listening, I'll ask for your mercies. But on Friday afternoon, a happy thing happened down in San Diego, which was that gathered with family, gathered with grandparents on both sides of the family, little Una Keith was baptized. And that is good news. So would you join me, yeah, in celebrating that good news? Having talked with Caleb and Erica in a future Sunday at an appropriate time, we will, in fact, for us, the congregation, her brothers and sisters here at Shepherd in the Pines, have a remembrance of that baptism here in worship, which is a beautiful thing also to have, so we can look forward to that. But to a room full of God's baptized people then, top to bottom, I say to you, grace, mercy, and peace. These are God's gifts to you in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our text for today on Reformation Sunday that we're looking at is Romans chapter 3, in case you want to have that prepared before you. But I'll start with this. I can still remember when my older sister ran to my parents and said, "Mom and Dad, David said the S word." "Mom and Dad, David said, shut up." All right? Yeah, you know, when it comes to little kids, those two words get contracted together and they become one word. And in our house growing up, we were not allowed to say that one contracted word, shut up. They were considered naughty words growing up, and they felt naughty when said. They were therefore forbidden. And oh, to be clear, when I said that to my sister in some far-off room, I thought out of earshot of my parents, out of arm shot of them, I'm sure, as well, I knew they were naughty. I knew they were forbidden, and yet I used them anyhow, and I paid the price. Shut up. In my college years, a series of movies came out. I don't know that they really stood the test of time, but they seemed funny at the time. Austin Powers, all right? Maybe some of you remember these movies. In that movie, there was one Dr. Evil, and Dr. Evil very frequently said to his, I don't know if they were so much his enemies, even his minlings underneath them, when they spoke up, he would say, do you remember this? Psh, right? Hey, Josiah. Hey, Josiah. Right? It was just like that. All right? And now I'll owe you like a burger or something. Having fun. I'm sorry. Going like that. Over and over again. Psht, shut them down. Now in my 40s, some years later, I wish I had the power to shut up a variety of people. Any amens? Yeah. A fair number of politicians. A fair number of self-made pseudo-celebrity theologians on social media. Maybe even a few locals from time to time. Yeah, for I am quite certain that the world would be a better place if a fair number of people, maybe upwards of half of the population, would simply shut up. It turns out from the Word of God that I am partially right on that. Half right. In fact, for the Word of God doesn't say that half the people should be shut up, even though that would be my request. The Word of God says that before the Holy God, all people, 100% of all people, have been shut up. Why so? Because we are in need of it. All people, Megan, the kids, and moms, and father, and my mother, and father-in-law, that means you and us, the Ruffner family, the Laum family, elders at this church, yeah, that means you, as much as we honor you. Those who prepare fellowship, those who prepare the altar for the supper, that means you. Church, it means all of you, that all of us have been shut up before God. Forget your select list of others. Consider God's exhaustive list of all of those who needed shut up and have been shut up. And Consider that it includes all of you, all of us. Romans 3:19. Here goes the text. Now we know that whatever the law of God says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth is stopped. Every last one. And the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law only comes knowledge of sin. Church, you've got a problem, and it's not the others in your life. It's not really the politicians and the pundits. It's not really your neighbors or your town folk or your extended family. Oh, I'm very well aware that you become fixated on them. I'm well aware of that because that's me. That's me. I too become fixated upon the others in my life. I'm very well aware that becoming fixated on the others in our lives, we become convinced of our own goodness, our own righteousness, I suppose. But I'm called here this morning to tell you the truth. And the truth is that all those other bothersome others, they aren't your real problem. You are your problem. You are God's problem. Romans 3:19, one more time. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes only knowledge of sin. For you are sinners. The wages of your sin is death, and so that you can't lie to yourselves or others or God, God has given the law. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not adulter. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. That's the law, and we could expound on it. Uh-oh, was that list too long for you, church? Ten commandments? Well, then recall that God has shortened it for you. He has distilled it, condensed it to just two. Here they go. If ten's too much, how about two? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other one is like it. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And you thought that having only two was going to be better than having ten. But it's not. You are sinners. I am a sinner. The wages will be death for us someday, and the wages today are that before God, on our own, our mouths are stopped. And I, David Ruffner, want to say, but God, can we talk? And maybe down from heaven I get a psh, right? Yeah? God, if you would just let me explain, psh, right? But did you see what I did to try and fix it, to try to make things up? Psh. I mean, I know I'm not great, God, but did you see that other guy? Psh, psh, right? All of it. Oh, we are sinners, great sinners, every one of us. And so God gives us the law so that we might know this about ourselves. And He knows it about us for sure. For the wages of sin will be our death. And the wage today is that before God, our mouths are stopped. There is no explaining. There is no bargaining. There is no comparing. For we know that whatever the law speaks, it speaks to those who are under the law so that every mouth is stopped. And so the law has done to us, and so our mouths have been stopped. As I'm talking here about Romans 3, verses 19 and beyond, and about our mouths being stopped, I'm curious, have any of you stopped to think that there's a track record of this in the Scriptures? Here's at least just two of them for you. How about Luke chapter 1? old Zechariah the priest. And I say old, he is old. His wife Elizabeth is old also. They are beyond childbearing years. And Zechariah goes up to the temple to serve. And while serving there, an angel of the Lord announces to him that his wife Elizabeth will have a baby. Here's Luke 1 verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is," this is about the nicest way a man has ever said that his wife is old, "my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold now, Zechariah, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And Zechariah was then silent for 9 months' time. And consider in the Old Testament, King David, my namesake, when he had sinned greatly, when he had committed adultery and lied and stolen, and by these things had propped himself up in his own eyes as if he were God himself. However, once David was then broken, a broken man, a known sinner to others and to himself, of course he prayed a great prayer. "Have mercy on me, O God," Psalm 51. "According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my sins, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned." And a few verses later, we get to that portion of David that is so familiar to us. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." And yet, even after all of these words that come out of David's mouth, that pour out of his mouth, he adds one more verse, still verse 15. "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." David knows that he is speaking words, but David knows that in his sin, his words have been stopped. He has no voice before the Father, no access. And yet he ventures some words anyhow, a confession of sorts, a plea. "Lord, Lord, open my lips again, and my mouth will declare your praise." Yeah, he added that one thing. He added that for sure. And God, our God who gave us the law, he also added one more thing, one more word. And it was the word of his Son, the gift of his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus, who opened his mouth as a boy in the temple. And those who were gathered there, the religious leaders, were amazed. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught his disciples and those gathered on hillsides about the kingdom of God. And Jesus opened his mouth and he caused demons to flee, legs to gain strength, people to walk, eyes to see, ears to hear, lepers to receive new skin, the dead to rise. And yes, when Jesus opened his mouth, he caused mouths that were closed to open again in praise toward God. Yeah, Jesus did all this. And then he opened his mouth further, declaring that he would go forward and die and lay down his life and take it up again. And when he said things like that, then his disciples determined that that would be a good time for them to open their mouths and say, "Jesus, may this never happen. We will never allow it to happen." And Jesus went forward and he opened his mouth in the garden in a prayer to his Father for all of you. He prayed for you and he opened his mouth to promise a future helper, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and be with us. And Jesus went forward, and he did not open his mouth in the midst of false accusations at his false trial. And we put him on the cross, and there on the cross, he opened his mouth again to grant a promise to a great sinner by his side, to plead to the Father, his Father, for forgiveness for all of us who put him there. And he opened his mouth to declare that it was finished. His life was finished. His life given and shed for sinners. His life given and shed for sinners in such a way that now our sin, our guilt, our shame has forever been accounted for, forever been paid for, forever been put away and put to death. And as if all of that weren't enough, after he opened his mouth on the cross and then closed it for 3 days in death, Jesus opened his mouth again on the day of the resurrection. And he found himself some disciples whose mouths had been shut by the law and whose eyes were now closed by grief. And he said to his disciples over and over again, "My peace be with you." And then he'd say this sort of thing, "Go and tell the others what you have seen," with mouths now opened. Jesus loosed the curse of the law that had stopped all of our mouths. He loosed that curse. He opened the mouths of his disciples. And as we continue then in Romans 3, we hear of this. And now in the death and resurrection of Jesus, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bore witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. And so to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, happy Reformation Day, happy Gospel Day, happy Jesus Day, now and always, today and every day, for your sins are forgiven, your mouths are opened to talk with your Father in prayer, to encourage each other with the promises of God, and to forgive the sins of each other and others, all those who have been burdened by their sin, and God who has opened our mouths now in this life, will open our mouths again in the life to come. That is Jerry's promise. That is Una's promise. And that is yours also. Our Lord has opened our lips, and again now, we proclaim His praise and His promises and His pardon to all. He has done this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people say, Amen.